Grace, the undeserved and unending love, and peace, a wholeness, a shalom to you, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who alone is worthy. Amen. Our sermon text for today is from our gospel reading, the very promises of God, particularly Luke chapter 7, verses 4 through 6, which reads, "And when the elders of the Jews came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly on the centurion's dying servant's behalf, saying, 'He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue.' But Jesus went with him. When he was not far from the home, the centurion sent friends, saying, 'Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof.' Will you pray with me, please? Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We're not worthy. What I don't mean in that sort of, you know, Wayne's World, we're not worthy kind of thing, for those of you who remember or even choose to remember the 1990s. Lord, please bring Pastor Harold and Beverly back soon. He's quoting Wayne's World from the pulpit. No. I don't mean that. I mean, we're not worthy. I don't mean we're not worthy of someone else's time. No. As God's church, his bride, we listen to and care for each other. And I don't mean that we're not worthy of someone taking a chance on us for a new job or a promotion. No, I'm sure you have all the skills required for your field. And I certainly do not mean that we're not worthy to live or to breathe or to take up space on God's beautiful creation. No, that is a lie from the pit of hell, from the devil himself, and Jesus has a great big theological word for that. Baloney. I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying with all the joy in my heart is, we're not worthy. But our gospel reading from Luke chapter 7 starts out in a much different way. The elders of the Jews in Capernaum, it's a city in near the Sea of Galilee, in what is today the modern-day nation of Israel, more in the northern part of it. And these elders of the Jews, they go plead to Jesus on behalf of this centurion, this non-Jew. And rather than singing this some unworthy tune, the song they're singing, beginning in verse 4, sounds something like this. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue." Do you notice the difference there? These Jews argue on behalf of a non-Jew, this Roman centurion who, as Arthur Just's commentary on Luke tells us, was a career soldier in charge of 100 other soldiers and responsible for the administration and discipline of those under his authority. And like most centurions, he was well paid. But unlike most centurions, he gave large sums of his salary to build a synagogue for the Jews of Capernaum. So what do the elders of these Jews of that city say to Jesus? What do they ask Jesus to do for them? Well, it says, "He is worthy to have you do this for them." And not only that, but they say, "He built us our synagogue." In other words, Jesus, he may be one of those God-awful Gentiles, non-Jews, but he has put forward so much of his salaries to sustain our synagogue. He coalesces to our customs. He funds our food. He buttresses our buildings. He has money. He deserves it. He is worthy. And I get it. I mean, we get it. I mean, I deserve to leave work early on Friday after my boss has already left, after all the hard hours I've already put in. I deserve to print off personal papers on the church's printer and fish through another fellowship's food after all the volunteer hours I've done here. I mean, I deserve to focus forever on Facebook rather than care for my kids after the long day I've been through. I mean, I deserve to talk about teachers and slander other students at school after all the long, hard hours I've studied. I deserve to push my parents' boundaries to the pinnacle after all the tough love I've received. I deserve to peruse through internet pages of porn after my wife says I'm tired yet again. I deserve to have God love me, to heal me, to do what I want for me after everything I've been through. We deserve it. We are worthy. Friends in Christ, that is a lie from the pit of hell. From the devil himself and Jesus. Well, he has a great big theological word for that. Baloney. In fact, earlier in our worship service, we were singing a much different tune than the worthy one we're singing now. In fact, sometimes we say it like this. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. Maybe it's just me, but that sounds a lot more like Wayne's World than it does my pompous personal prerogatives. We're not worthy. Yet the ironic thing in our gospel reading from today is that this non-Jew, the Roman centurion, the Gentile, the guy who won't even let Jesus come into his house just so Jesus can keep the Jewish purity laws, this guy gets it. He sends word to Jesus in verse 6 saying, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. We're not worthy. I'm not worthy to be an energetic and empathetic employee. I'm not worthy to be found in the fellowship of the faithful. I'm not worthy to be a studious student and forgiving friend. I'm not worthy to be a dutiful daughter and supportive son. I'm not worthy to be a pastor proclaiming the promises of God. I'm not worthy to love my wife, to walk hand in hand with my wonderful wife. I'm not worthy to be baptized into his name. I'm not worthy to banquet on his body and blood, and I am not worthy before our Lord and Savior Jesus to frolic in his forgiveness, to grapple with his grace, and to be lavish with his love, and in wondrous joy we proclaim we're not worthy. When it comes to life, to love, to faith in Christ, we echo the confession of John the Baptist in Luke chapter 3, verse 16, when he says, I baptize you with water, but one who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. We're not worthy. Worthy to be promised by prophets past. Worthy to be born where cattle congregate. Worthy to be an escaped refugee in Egypt land. worthy to be the kid of a common carpenter, worthy to take the tax collectors in his arms, worthy to rebuke the religious leaders, worthy to be accused, arrested, and arraigned, worthy to be crowned with callous thorns, worthy to be seized and speared and jeered, worthy to be hung out on a hunk of wood to heave and breathe his last, worthy to die for unworthy servants like you and me. Worthy to be raised to live forever. Worthy to ascend and to act on our behalf. Worthy to defeat the domination of death. And Jesus Christ alone is worthy to return, restore, and reign with us, his unworthy servants. And in unending joy, we proclaim, we're not worthy. Christ is worthy. Rejoice with me, people of God, in the worthy words of praise to Jesus in Revelation chapter 5. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. And then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, calling with one voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and honor and glory and blessing. We're not worthy. Christ is worthy." Hallelujah. Yet the ironic thing is that our worthy Lord calls our unworthiness, well, he has three great big theological words for that: such great faith. You see, in hearing the response to the centurion's unworthy words, Luke 7 verse 9 says, Jesus, when he heard these things, turned to the crowd following, said, "I tell you, I have never found, even in Israel, such great faith." Our unworthy Lord not only calls our unworthiness such great faith, he makes his home in us. His Spirit lives in us. We are in Christ. We are baptized, believing, and belonging. And what great joy! We're not worthy. Paul writes in Colossians 1, 9 to 10, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with all of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and being filled with the knowledge of God." We're not worthy. Christ is worthy, and his Spirit lives in us. Paul proclaims again in Philippians 1:27, "Only let the manner of your life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striding side by side for the faith of the gospel." We're not worthy. Christ is worthy, and his Spirit lives in us. As we look in the reflective waters of our baptism, we see unworthy workers and bosses, unworthy husbands and wives, unworthy fathers and mothers, unworthy sons and daughters, unworthy brothers and sisters, unworthy grandfathers and grandmothers, unworthy uncles and aunts. And Jesus has three great big theological words for you and me: such great faith. We're not worthy. Christ is worthy, and His Spirit lives in us. Amen.